Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission, a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. I always love saying that. We have a great show for you today. In fact, we have a wonderful show for you today. But before we get started, if you're watching this on YouTube, please like us and click on the subscribe button below. As you might know, we're dedicating this season Your Next Mission to all the veterans and families that struggle with mental illness. In this episode, we're going to talk to some great professionals in mental health industry. And now before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors for Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and we certainly love them too. As I mentioned, today's theme is about mental health. And I'm so excited to introduce from the Mental Health Systems, Dr. Wendy Broughton, I hope I said that right,
yes,
Chief Operating Officer, and Dr. Laura Otis Miles, Senior Vice President. Welcome to the show. It's so good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. We're delighted to be here.
Oh, you look so pumped up already. I'm ready to go. You know, before we get started, you know, the audience always likes to hear a little bit about you. So I'll start with you, Wendy. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'd love to. You know, I'm one of those people that I want to give back. I have been given so much in this life that when I had the opportunity to join Mental Health Systems, it was in 1998. As a matter of fact, it was 23 years ago yesterday that I've been at the agency. So yes, I started when I was 4 years old, and I've come a long way.
Since you're 4 years old. I started going backwards years ago, that's for sure.
So anyways, I got into this behavioral health industry really out of passion for wanting to make a difference. As many of us, we have family members, we have people that we know and love and care about that have struggled and needed this kind of support and this help. And so it just crawled under my skin, and it became something that was more than a passion. It was a calling, something I had to do, probably much like yourself, called into military service and living that out. And so that really is what drives me to come to work every day.
Yeah, you know, I told you a little while ago, I've suffered from post-traumatic stress for probably 40 years and stuff like that. So the things that you guys do to help our veterans and families, really everybody, I certainly appreciate it. And it's tough. There's a lot of people out there that struggle every day that really, quite frankly, just need somebody to talk to. So, Wendy, how about yourself?
Like Wendy said, I
said Wendy, I mean Laura.
Yeah, that's all right.
There you go.
That's all right. Well, like Wendy said, it was a calling for me as well to come into the behavioral health field. I have a military family background.
Oh, I got to cut you off right there. Yeah. You was in them? Your mother and father was in the military?
My father was in the Army, grandfather, and uncle were in the Navy.
I know I liked you a lot better than I liked
Marines.
Oh, is that right? How long did your father stay in the Army?
He did about 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not a career like you.
Like 36. That was a slow learner.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, he then found his calling into law enforcement and worked for San Francisco Police Department for the remainder of his career. He's retired now. But with that said, I also have a sister with lived experience of mental illness and behavioral health challenges. And so it was a calling for me to go into the field because I wanted to learn more and I wanted to find my way to be able to give back. Mm-hmm. And I've always worked within the field of serving veterans and military. I did my clinical internship and postdoctoral fellowship to become a psychologist at the VA healthcare system in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I also worked for the VA Medical Center in Indianapolis. So I've gone outside of San Diego, but returned back to San Diego and joined mental health systems. And my 11-year anniversary was 2 days ago on Monday, 11 years at MHS, and joined our team working on our Courage to Call program, which I know we'll talk more about.
Well, that's great. You know, I was going to say, my 51st wedding anniversary is coming up here in January 16th. So, yeah, that's good. So, you know, before we get started asking any more questions, I'm going to thank you guys for what you do. I guess I never realized all the issues we had as far as mental health issues in this country. Still, until you start looking around and see all the people that are homeless and and you just think, God, can't you do something? But the fact of the matter is most of the people that are homeless do have a lot of mental issues. That's what you're saying. Wendy, can you tell us a little bit about the mental health system, the history of the services, and offer any of the people, you know, you serve or talk about the people you serve, I guess?
Yeah, happy to. So Mental Health Systems was founded in 1978 and really just started as a very small program serving clients with mental health issues. And it has since grown. So we serve 14,000 people. We can touch 14,000 lives on any given day. We're across 10 different counties. Our scope is quite large. We have about 1,000 employees or so.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, between 80 and 85 different programs at any given time. Mm-hmm. So we have adult mental health, children's mental health, substance use disorder, criminal justice, veterans programs, homeless programs, and tremendous housing programs that we run. So we truly do run the gamut or the continuum of care for services for our clients. Mm-hmm. We have a saying that there's no wrong door. You can come in asking for one thing, and we're going to plug you in for another if that's what you need. We're going to make sure the job gets done. Yeah. No one is left behind.
Yeah. This is probably a crazy question. Is there like a number one issue or number, you know, what's the number one issue, I guess, when you look at mental health?
Well, sir, I'm glad you asked that. I mean, there are a lot of things that are compelling our society today. If we just look at where we've come from with COVID as an example, the social isolation, feeling of being disconnected, people saying goodbye to loved ones, you know, through a glass, outside a building, outside of a hospital, people welcoming babies over FaceTime. I mean, it's truly a remarkable time right now, and people are feeling more isolated and disconnected than ever.
So you think COVID is the number one issue as far as...
Well, I just think the social isolation that has been characterized from quarantining and people having to remain what we're calling socially distant. Yeah. There's so much more. When you have compelling and compounding issues going on, I respect what you shared with us earlier, just talking about suffering from PTSD as an example. You know, those things are compounded when we feel that we're alone in something, or we have thoughts, we think something, and if there's nowhere to check it out or there's nowhere to counter that, it can just grow, it can spiral, right? And people can go down a rabbit hole very, very fast. And one of the things I appreciate that you all are addressing is, you know, suicidality right now. Yeah. And truly, if we don't get in there and offer people the supports and let them know it's okay to talk about what you need when you need it, then they're just going to become one of those very sad statistics that we see.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to get you, and I'm going to make sure I get Laura. But you know, you touched on a lot of interesting things there. And I think because I told you about my own issues, post-traumatic stress. Yeah. When I came back out of Vietnam, out of war, and I've been in a lot of different wars in my life, one of the things I really had a problem with is sort of fitting in. Mm. And the other thing I had a problem with was like anger issues. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to work through that. But the way I worked through it, and you just said it a minute ago, the way I worked through that was communicating, was talking, was listening to other people. The best person for me was really my wife, or my spouse, talking to all the issues and letting her listen, say, you know, you're crazy or you don't have a problem or whatever. But I think the key is for me, and I think for a lot of people, it's just to talk to somebody.
It is that connection that you're talking about. So this is a platform for connection. Yeah. Somebody can tap into this and feel like we're telling their story.
Yeah.
Then they're not alone. Then they can start to talk. They can reach out for help.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Laura, as I mentioned earlier, we are dedicating season two to all our veterans and families who struggle with mental health. And I know you have great programs called Courage to Call.
That's right.
That deals with specific issues. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely.
Not a little bit. You can talk about it if you want.
Absolutely, Sergeant Major. So Courage to Call is based here in San Diego County. Mm-hmm. It is a program that we operate in collaborative partnership with two other providers, 211 San Diego and Veterans Village of San Diego, VVSD.
I've worked for Veterans Village. We gave money years ago.
Yeah, they're a fantastic organization. Absolutely. And a terrific partner. And what we do at Courage to Call is we engage veterans, active duty service members, reservists, service members, as well as National Guards and their family members. And I'm so pleased you brought up the impact of being able to include family members, because we know that they're crucial in terms of supporting veterans as well as active duty service members with navigating the challenges of mental health, particularly for transition back into the civilian workforce for those that are discharging. Mm-hmm. The program serves all branches of the military, any discharge status, and any era of military service, and any time lapse post-military discharge. So the program has an extremely wide reach in terms of who is eligible to receive the services. And we prioritize having the staff be 100% veteran and military affiliated. So we have veterans as well as spouses, family members.
That's a big deal. That's really a big deal. Because, I certainly don't want to cut you off, because I think this is great information for a lot of people. But one of the things that always bothers me when I call somebody on a call center and they have no military affiliation, and I start talking and they don't understand. And quite frankly, I had a doctor one time. I went in and talked to him about post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. And it's like she didn't care. And really annoyed
me. Couldn't relate.
She couldn't relate at all. And it was sort of a waste of time. And so the fact that you're putting, veterans and military family members on call centers and helping them, I think it's really smart as intelligent to do that.
Yeah. We call Courage to Call a resource for the resources, because mm-hmm. one of the things that we know is challenging is navigating all the available resources in the continuum of care here in San Diego. So what I mean by that is folks can call 211. And on that 24/7 peer support line that we operate, which is also staffed with veterans, mm-hmm. the person who's answering the call can help navigate for the caller what service they need or what resource they need, going from just a resource for a basic need, like a food resource mm-hmm. or a housing or a shelter resource, all the way through to mental health counseling and case management. And that's something that Courage to Call also provides. So we operate the line and then oftentimes have referrals come forward that are for those folks who need more of a case management service with mental health counseling. Mm-hmm. And we provide that directly through our team as well, in addition to helping support folks navigating if they're receiving services at the VA healthcare system or one of the vet centers. We support that transition as well, but we also provide the direct service too.
Yeah, we had the have you ever heard of the Cohen Clinic? Mm-hmm. We had the Cohen Clinic a long time. They said a lot. I mean, they're doing a great job also, but they talked about the fact that if I had a friend that I dealt with all the time, and they would bring them in as for therapy too. Does that make sense? Do you guys mm-hmm. do the same thing? So
absolutely.
If I'm associated with somebody daily, to bring that person in and probably help us out a little bit. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You want to add anything to that?
We don't define what somebody's supports are or who their supports are. They get to.
Yeah.
So whoever's in your world that's going to keep you stable and connected and feeling supported, that's who comes in with us.
Yeah.
That's who comes in the room.
We talk a lot about transition all the time, but one of the things, again, when I transitioned out of the military after 36 years, mm-hmm. one of the things that really bothered me was I just didn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I remember my wife sort of slapped me into reality, but once I moved, I built a house, I thought, man, it's just going to be just like the military. And I lived mm-hmm. on a military installation, and I started walking around shaking hands with people and saying, hi, how you doing, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And they thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because I just didn't, I didn't get, the other thing, I'd be interested to see what you say about this. The other thing is most times when you start talking to people about veterans issues or whatever, they don't feel comfortable about it and they'll change the subject very quickly. And it sort of irritates, especially if you're a veteran, it irritates the veteran, I guess, a little bit. Do you ever hear anybody talking about stuff like that, about they don't just don't understand, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why it's so important to have the connection to those who have the veteran or military affiliation and that experience, because we found one of the effective parts of the program is that being able to have that connection. Usually our staff are those that self-identify as having their own lived experience of having had a mental health challenge themselves, whether they have had suicidal ideation in the past, meaning they've been thinking about killing themselves. Other issues could be related to substances and addiction. That's another area in behavioral health that we're seeing a lot of challenges in with many folks that, you know, wind up becoming addicted to opioids. That's a focus of how to be able to engage folks and talking about that and being able to connect them to appropriate resource for treatment. The staff that identifies having been through those experiences, homelessness too, we have many staff that also express having been at risk of homelessness or having been homeless at one point in their life and having to kind of come out of that. When they're able to share as part of their work, their own experiences to bring that veteran or active military or reservist, you know, or National Guard or their family member through talking about that experience that I've been there, I got through it, here's what worked for me, let me offer you some suggestions. And of course, we have a whole host of resources to make available to them through the navigating the system of care.
Do you get a lot of people that come in that are addicted to drugs? I mean, that are on active duty, that approach you and need assistance?
You know, that's a really great question. One of the things we know that is an impact is stigma around disclosing challenges going on, particularly for our active duty members.
Well, it's not just drugs. It's also post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, right? And that's what I wanted to say is, you know, rarely do we have the luxury of somebody coming in with one issue, right? I mean, know, if somebody has, as an example, a mental health issue, they may have years of self-treating through substances, right? Mm-hmm. So to quiet the voices, to quiet the anxiety, they may be drinking too much. They might have that history of alcoholism. So to treat one, you have to treat the other. Yeah. So if somebody has been able to successfully navigate PTSD symptoms through addiction, then, you know, that's exactly what we have to do is be able to address the things simultaneously, not sequentially. We've got to treat the whole person.
I guess I asked about myself. Yeah. You know, I told you already I have post-traumatic stress and I dealt with a lot of issues. It's amazing to me how I was able to work through it. Because I don't think everybody can work through it. Is that normal?
Yeah, you know what? Every individual is different. I think what we heard you share was, you know, you had the fortitude to stand in your feelings where you were at. You were in the military. You were, you know, being able to walk through it, face your feelings, talk about it, communicate, articulate what was going on for you, lean on the blessings of the relationship that you have with your wife, be able to trust that and move through those emotions to successfully heal in those areas of your life. It doesn't mean that it's gone away. It means that you found a way to live with it, right?
Yeah.
And you still know there are certain things that may trigger you, and that is normal.
Yeah.
That's what happens. But I think you might be a little bit of a rarity in that you were able to...
There's no question about that.
I was going to say that. You're a little bit of a rarity that you had this. There we go. I'll give his wife some credit.
Yeah.
But the fact that you stood in that and walked through it and were able to articulate what you're going through, that's a great testimony, though, to other people that you can take that risk, you can talk about it, and you can heal to the point where now you're giving back to your community.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is, and we'll get on to something else in a minute, but the other thing is I think I went through depression, too.
Of course.
I mean, you know, there's highs and lows in life, and And boy, I'd get up here and I'd be pumping, and then somebody could say just one thing that would just hurt me in some way. And I never would say anything because I think most people keep it inside.
Yeah.
They just sort of know, and I'm sure the people you talk to, they don't want to express their feelings. The other thing I tell you, you know, as a senior NCO in the United States Army, I think if I'd have told people that I had that issue, I'd have been stopped right there. I'm not sure people would have the confidence. But, you know, but I've always been pretty honest with people about how I feel about stuff and how it worked. And I think that maybe they accepted it. Somebody told me one time, and again, I don't know if they're still, they said 1 in 5, I don't know if it's in all services, but in the Army, suffer from post-traumatic stress, or PTS, I think they call it now.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's true.
Yeah. I would dare say it may even be higher.
Yeah.
I would dare say it may even be higher. But, I mean, absolutely. You know, and the thing is this, you know, you eliminate the barriers of stigma just by talking about it. And you alluded to that earlier, Laura, about stigma. And it's just so crucial because what happens is when you're in that low point, your head will tell you, I don't want to bother anybody. They don't want to hear from me again. I sound like a broken record, whatever those, you know, things that you're dealing with, when in fact, that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah.
You have to let it out, you know, you have to let it out in the sunlight. When it gets out in the sunlight and it's not a secret anymore, then you can heal from it.
Yeah, yeah. I used to tell people, you can say anything about me, but you want, as long as you don't touch me. You know, and I mean, so I think most people want to help somebody.
Yeah.
They want to do the best they can. They don't want to. They just don't want to hurt anybody. You know, this is a great country. We have a lot of great people like you two right here that are doing God's work. There's no question. I'm sure
Thank you
would put on this earth to change the lives of a lot of people. One more question. I'll go into something else here. What about family? What about spouses? Do you see spouses that have mental issues, especially from the veteran community or any community?
Yeah, we do. And spouses and family members are a priority for us to serve.
But it's a spouse. I mean, I'm talking about a specific spouse. And I know, do the kids have issues too? I mean, do they?
Well, you know, every family is different.
Yeah.
One of the things we do at MHS is we do offer services for children, youth, and families as well. So one of the benefits of operating Courage to Call is that we can also make referrals to our own programs that we operate to best serve that population. We have on our team family support partners, and these are typically spouses of active duty military or military veterans who are in the role to be able to engage with the members of the family, including the children that are in the home, and help support them as the veteran or active duty member is working on their recovery and resiliency. So with that, it is important work, and we do wrap around. That's another term we use in our system of care. Our continuum of care is how we wrap around not just the individual, but the whole family.
Yeah, the whole person concept, 360 degrees.
Exactly.
I have a son that had pneumococcus meningitis, left him temporarily blind, temporarily deaf, 20 to 30 convulsions a day, and encephalitis, just a bunch of stuff. And I remember they used to talk about the 360 degrees, you know, how do we structure life for him now? So it's important. And it's it's what, again, I can't say this enough, and for the people that are listening today, God bless you for what you do. It's a big deal. So we're talking with Dr. Wendy Broughton, hope we got it right, Chief Operating Officer, and Dr. Loris Otis Miles, Senior Vice President of Mental Health Systems. And you've been enjoying your next mission, of course, with me, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And if you've been enjoying this discussion, I'd certainly tell you I have been enjoying this discussion. But if you've been enjoying the discussion with Wendy and Laura, please like us or click on the subscribe button below, because we need more veterans out there, because all we want to do is help you. All we want to do is help the people that need help and assistance. And you know, everything, it breaks my heart sometimes when I see somebody that either commits suicide or has a problem or whatever, and think there's nobody that cares or love them. I would tell you that there's a lot of people that love you and want to take care of you, and that's evident by the two people that are here today. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and thank you so much.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for five straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley, and we're blessed to be here today with Dr. Wendy Broughton. Always wanted to make sure I get that right. Chief Operating Officer, and Dr. Laura Otis Miles, Senior Vice President of Mental Health Systems. And I want all of our listeners to reach out to me directly and, you know, talk to me and tell me what your issues are. Tell us about your transition. Tell us about the things that that you have issues about. You know, it's too often we keep that stuff to yourself and we don't talk about it. It's, the key to success in life is being a good communicator and being a good listener. And I want you to tell me your issues. Tell us what topics you'd like to cover on this show. This is, you know, I tell people all the time, it's not my show. I wish it was, but it's not. It's our show. In a veteran community, we want to do anything we can. So tell me what you want us to talk about. You can call me or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach out to you. I'll text you back. Now, don't hang up if I call you, but I'll text you back. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you. But again, I want you to understand it's not just about, it's just not about me, it's about us. It's about life, it's about God, it's about helping people each and every day. We live in a great country, and we want to do all we can for our fellow man and woman. So God bless each and every one. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Wendy, we're really heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you and Laura enjoy. You know, you're both doctors. I hate to call you Wendy and Laura, just drives me crazy, but that's okay. You said I could do it. But I hope you've enjoyed this time with us. I hope you enjoyed the discussion, that's for sure. I just really have just a couple more questions for you. Wendy, what is on the horizon for MSS? MHS, I guess.
Yeah. You know, there's so much. I mean, we talked about it earlier regarding, you know, we have a housing issue, especially in San Diego, but really across the nation. There's a, you know, homelessness and housing and affordability. And
Can I stop you right there? Yeah. What are we going to do about it?
Well, isn't that the question?
Yeah. Yes.
And I think that conveners who are around the table, you know, need to hear the voice of the people. And I really respect and I love how you invited your audience to reach out to you directly, because that's the voice that we need. We need to know, where are the barriers that people are experiencing? You know, sometimes, sir, it's as simple as there is a system which has created unnecessary barriers where you have to have a certain form of identification, or you have to have, you know, something that is precluding them from getting into housing. And it really is a man-made barrier that we have the ability and responsibility to remove and lessen, so we can get people housed, get them off the streets, and especially someone that has just been in service to our country.
Yeah.
I mean, please, that is our responsibility to do that. So MHS needs to be at those tables. We're committed to making a difference, and absolutely we will be there in the coming years.
Yeah. You know, too often I think in this country it's all about me. You know what I mean? If people get, I mean, I'm not bragging, but maybe I am bragging. Each year, I buy turkeys for a school that lives next to me. I don't have any kids in a school. For Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'll buy them turkeys. And also, I donate to, I think this year I bought two brand new bikes for some homeless kids that needed bikes. And my wife, I'm an old guy, so I have three great grandbabies that we support their school. And so we'll go and we'll buy other kids that probably aren't as lucky maybe as we are. And so I tell people all the time, if everybody in this country would help one person, You know, help one person. And that's all you got to do. Help one person. Help somebody be successful in life. So I don't know. I just, it's all about giving. And I always tell people it's all about God. It's all about life. I'm going to tell you a quick story real fast. I told you about my son. He had pneumococcus meningitis. Totally blind, totally deaf, 20 to 30 convulsions a day. Encephalitis, which is called a pus over your brain, has a lumbar shunt. And I always thought he'd die at 10 years old. I really thought that. And so I just kept soldiering on. You know, that's what soldiers do. I probably shouldn't tell you a story, but I'll probably cry. If I cry out there, don't laugh at me.
No,
okay.
But
I really thought he'd die at a young age. And we went to Fort Lewis, Washington, and I deployed up to Yakima Firing Center. And my wife called me and said, "You got to come home." And so I did. And this, I'm telling you, this is a story. I believe in life. I believe in people can do good things and change lives. And so I came home, and he was in the hospital, in Madigan Hospital, I think it was. And I went and asked the doctor. I said, "Doc, what's going to happen?" He said, "I don't know." And what do you do when that happens? So I went in, and I said a prayer. I got my hands and knees, said, "God, either let him live or let him die." Next day, there wasn't nothing wrong with it. Now, think about that. I want the audience to think about that. It's about taking care of each other. It's about believing in life, believing in God, believing in what you do each and every day of your life. There's people out there that love you, and they want to help you. And so don't, you know, don't think that you're alone, because you're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah, what you just talked about, you know, is really about taking action that you can take. So you defined that for you, what mattered to you. And maybe you didn't think about it, but you just, through your heart, you just dropped to your knees and you did what you knew would make a difference to you. You know, praying for what? Who would not pray for a miracle for their child? That is normal action, right? So, you know, that's that thing of just take some action. If you're hurting, if you're alone, if you're thinking of that you don't have a place in this life, you know, we get that. And especially you've talked about when people are re-entering civilian life, we know that is an incredibly difficult time and space. Reach out. Talk about it. You know, it is okay.
That's a big deal. It's there's so much that we can do. We just got to do it. You want to add anything to that?
To follow up with what Wendy said, to respond to you and sharing your story, and thank you for that, Sergeant Major. It's really about what you can do that's within your control. And so many of us have our cell phones and tablets.
Don't get me talking about that. Oh, I hate them. I mean, I love them and hate them. It's a love hate.
But my point in bringing that up is there's increasing access, particularly for our younger generation. How about I say that? To being able to talk to somebody, if it's someone that doesn't have that trust and relationship within their own family to be able to have these conversations, they can call 211 for the courage to call peer support line. And I do want to mention that our program, for those that are struggling with returning to civilian life, coming out of their military discharge, we do free food distributions twice a month. And we typically do that based out of where the Courage to Call program is located in Kearney Mesa. We can give details about the upcoming dates and location confirmation through our webpage. We also support transitioning veterans through, we have available clothing, professional attire for those looking for more support for being able to access employment to meet those financial needs. And our big event supporting specifically women veterans is we operate an annual Operation Dress Code, which is an event where we have gently used clothing and accessories available for women who are recently discharged or those who are veterans that need to come back and access those resources to be able to enter into the
You know, the reason I'm smiling when you're talking about clothing and stuff like that, I remember I went to Korea to get, when I was just before I was getting out of service, so I bought me four suits in Korea, and I had a tailor, and he got down and he measured my waist, and he says, "Sergeant Major," he says, "are you retiring?" Yeah, I said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, "I add 2 inches." I thought, come on, knock it off.
Smart tail.
It was just so funny that he said, "I add 2 inches." I said, "Okay." Well, you know, I can't tell you how much I'm, first of all, I'm proud of what you do. Mm. And I think a lot of people ought to be proud of the kind of things that you're doing. But we just need people to reach out to you. We need people that need assistance. And, and again, if you're listening, I guess the one thing I forgot to ask, is there a website or a phone number that do you have the website for?
Yeah.
Let's put it on
there.
Sure
is. So it's mhsinc.org. Okay. And you can reach our front office at 858-573-2600.
Well, you got that down pat. I got to get mine on a piece of paper. Any final thoughts or anything that you'd like to add that maybe we didn't talk about? Anything. Again, this show is about how do we help our community and how do we help our veterans and family community. So any final thoughts that you guys want to add?
Yeah, I mean, what you have here is a tremendous platform to reach out to people and carry a message that is so worthwhile. And everyone just needs to know that, you know, there's no wrong door. You know, we have one of the things that I know Laura and I both feel particularly proud of representing mental health systems. And, you know, we have an incredibly rich tapestry of employees at MHS. I mean, unbelievable people. And as Laura alluded to earlier, they have lived experience. They've been in the military. Maybe they're a loved one. You mentioned about the family members and the impact on families, you know, the divorce rates or, you know, broken families, if you will. All you have to do is go on any social platform right now and watch the reunifying videos when somebody's coming home from their tour and the reunification, the emotion behind it and the way that the families are just crying and the children. I mean, there's a tremendous weight on people who love those who are serving and our, you know, our military. So, it's just to recognize that there's a pride and a love for it, and at the same time, there is a toll that can be taken on the families. They also should be willing and need to know that we have services available for the families as well, because it's a weight.
You know, the average person in the fight of war is 18 to 26.
Yeah.
You know, they have some senior guys like me that are our officers and non-commissioned officers. Yeah. But when you really, you got a young group of people that are fighting a war and then come back and try to fit back into the family, that's got to be tough because they're still, I call them babies, they're still young adults.
Well, and they have limited skill sets to begin with at that age, and we all know this.
I have limited skill sets at that age.
I was going to say, you know, I'm in my 50s and I still struggle to...
Well, I'm a little bit farther than that.
But you had mentioned, I mean, I appreciate that you shared early on when we began this segment, along with your PTSD, as you struggled with your anger. You know, your anger. Yeah. And so that is very, very common. We have these feelings that are coming up, and it's so much easier for certain people to manage feelings of anger than sadness, depression, anxiety, insecurity, fear. You know, does my spouse still love me the same? I know I'm not the same person when I left that I'm bringing home.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff, and that is perfectly normal. Those are the things that we have services for, and we want to just, you know, encourage people to tap into those resources. Yeah, no one has to struggle alone.
No, and a lot of people think they do.
Yeah.
It's all about leadership, too. It's about who's there to help you. When I was young, I think I was a staff sergeant, and I just had come back, like I said, from war, and I was assigned to a place at Fort Knox. And one day, one of the sergeants that was in charge of me had said something, got right in my face, and before I knew it, I hit him, knocked him over a table, and he got up, and he was a sergeant first class, and I was a staff sergeant. He looked at me and said, "Go home." Mm. He didn't do anything to me.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know. And it really, he probably was a smart thing to do. He made me think. And so I'm driving down the road. I said, this is the end of my career. I'm going to jail. He's going to put me, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next day I came in, and he says, and he didn't say anything in the morning. In the afternoon, he says, "Look, come here." I said, he said, "I'm going to help you out. Don't ever do that again."
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have good leaders around you. And he realized that maybe he shouldn't have got so close, I guess. Yeah. But he realized that, you know, I had an issue. I wish he'd have sent me to somebody probably too, but he took care of me. So you have to have good, solid leadership and people that care. And people know if you care.
Yeah.
They don't. They know if you're just you know, filling in the hour or you're taking the 30 minutes or whatever. They know if you, I always say you love them. You got to love somebody. You got to like somebody. You got to try to help them any way that you can.
Yeah, so. Well, it sounded like he believed in you, right? And that's what it's about. He believed in you. And which one of us doesn't need a break now and then? Mm-hmm. Which one of us, you know, can't think back and think, oh, my goodness, your life could have taken such a different turn.
Yep.
But this man knew how to step back.
Yeah.
And lead with space and grace and, you know, allow you to save your own face in that moment and come back and learn from it. Boy, what a valuable lesson.
I think I've had a lot of people that did that throughout my life. You just don't want to make one mistake. I think I made a whole bunch of mistakes. How about yourself? Any final thoughts?
Well, we do education as well for providers that serve veterans, because what you said about, you know, good leadership and understanding what those issues and behaviors are leading to a more positive outcome. So when we educate about, you know, military veteran culture to the other providers serving these folks, it also helps improve the leadership so that when there is an incident, it doesn't mean it's, you know, the end of the world, it could be very much a door opening to be able to create a second opportunity or third or fourth opportunity. Mm-hmm. We work with veterans through this program who have wound up, what you said, like wound up in jail because of a behavior they engaged in as it related to their mental health or substance use disorder challenge. Mm-hmm. We provide the mentorship support for the Federal Veterans Treatment Court here in the Southern District based in San Diego. So, being able to engage those folks and being able to help prevent any other negative outcomes like that is something that's really important. And education is this conversation, and that's what we're doing here today as well, with your listeners.
Yeah, you know, Veterans Court. There's 34 of them in Florida. Mm-hmm. At Veterans Court. I got involved here a couple of years ago, and I own a small company with Purdue University in Wiley. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I sent one of the guys down there to try to set up an educational program for them. Mm-hmm. So even though they go through the Veterans Court, at one point, I wanted them to get their associate's or their bachelor's degree, even their master's degree. Yeah. So it sort of worked out pretty good. I'm not sure. I got to go back and check on it a little bit. Hopefully it's doing good. Yeah. Usually you got to check on it. But, I don't know if I can say enough. I just want to thank you guys. It's so important what you do, and you make a difference every day. So,
thank you. And we're so proud to continue serving veterans. Yeah, we're actually opening another program in Cathedral City, near Palm Springs. Uh-huh. It's a veterans village that's being built from the ground up in partnership with Urban Housing Community, speaking of housing and the need to provide affordable and supportive housing for our veterans. And they're building right now, and we're hoping to move our first veteran in May of 2022. It's 60 units out in Cathedral City. So stay tuned.
God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. And then thanks to Dr. Wendy Broughton.
There you go.
President and CEO, and Dr. Laura Otis Miles, Senior Vice President of Mental Health Systems. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and hope you've been enjoying your next mission. Thank you for being with us today, and please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully, I always tell everybody, hopefully it's a good review. I don't want nothing bad. But if you want to put a bad one out there, go ahead and do it. You can also visit our partners there who will provide you with so many services that can assist you with your transition out of the military. I know when I got out of service, I wasn't sure where to go to, but there's stuff on there that can help you through that process. And just like the doctors that are with us today, they can help you also with that stuff. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are there. There's thousands of jobs. I just want you to know that there's people that love you and want to take care of you. So reach out to us. We'll help you out. Please know we want to assist you in any way we can. You know, we do this show not for me. It's for you. It's for your families. It's for your children. It's for all of us to help each other out. And again, people always say thank you for your service. Well, I want to thank you for what you do. And remember, we're a family, and we're going to take care of each other each and every day. I never thought I'd ever say this, but please follow me on all my social media channels. This is crazy. I don't know about this stuff. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. And if you've enjoyed our discussion with Wendy and Laura, please like us and click on this on the subscribe button below. You know, we've got to pull together. We've got to help each other out, and we do it as a team. We do it as a family. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And thanks again to Dr. Wendy Broughton and Dr. Laura Otis Miles. I almost messed that last one up here real quick for being with us today. It was great having you on the show, and I don't know, just great. It's great to know that there's people out there that that love you and want to help you, and that's what they want to do.
Thank you.
I want to leave you with three things to remember today. As I said earlier, we're dedicating this season two to Your Next Mission to all those veterans and family members who struggle with mental illness, which so often has led to someone taking their own life. Please reach out to someone you haven't spoken to in a long time. You know, I reached out to somebody I haven't talked to in about 20 years the other day. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you a little story. I always got stories, I guess, but I got a text from somebody. It says, you know, I did what I said. I wanted to, he had a 7-day challenge where you'd call the veteran every day and checked on your buddy. And he said he called one, he talked to him. In fact, he went and met him, and he had some issues. It was a first sergeant that he'd served with, and he helped him out with these issues. And they agreed when they finished that maybe once a week, every 2 weeks, they'd have a lunch. And so about 3 or 4 days later, he came back and he passed away. Mm. It's the little things that mean a lot. And so don't forget about giving. Each and every day we need to help our fellow man and woman. The second thing I like to do is, you can see I got an Army hat on. You know, you may not be in the Army. You may be in the Navy or the Air Force, Marine Corps, or Coast Guard. But I want to start something. I want every Friday, I want you to wear your military hat. I want you to show people that you're proud of your service and you're proud of this country. And if you really got a great hat and you got a great picture and you're not old like me, take a picture, send it to me, put it on social media. Let me see how you look. But it's about leadership. It's about God. It's about helping, again, our fellow man and woman. And then the last thing I want to do, I want to encourage everyone to reach out to your neighbor. You know, offer a smile or a helping hand. Too often, we just sort of close. I tell people all the time, when I moved into the civilian community, all they want to do is close your doors. I want them to open those mm-hmm. doors. Mm-hmm. Together, let's try to bridge that divide that has affected so many of us lately. We want to do that. We want to be a team, a family. It's a great country we live in. So just try to do, maybe if you can do all of those, it'd be great, but at least I'll do at least one, okay? But don't forget, we're a family. Again, thanks for being with us today. It's really important that we sort of pull together. And thanks to Cloudcast Media and, of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all they do for our military. So, as always, I'll see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.